I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. Spiritual things are real. They're not imaginary. In fact, this realm that you can see and touch is the temporary one. The spirit realm was here before this realm and will be here after this realm. The scripture said the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Well, people can see you, they see your body, but you, what we call you, is on the inside, the hidden man of the heart. People focus on the outside, but the inside's more important than the outside. The condition of the inside directly affects the condition of the outside. Remember the scripture said in 3 John 2, he said, "Beloved, I desire, I wish, I pray above all things that you would prosper," that's here, "and be in health," that's here, "even as your soul prospers," that's inside. Can you see that? Mm-hmm. Soul prosperity. Well, I can't see your soul. You can't see my soul. But the condition of your soul is more important than the condition of your body or of your finances. And they are related. They are connected. In fact, the Lord said this. He said, if somebody gained the whole world, but they lost their own soul, what did they do? What did it benefit them? They didn't accomplish anything. And so you'll see in the world, people are pushing for things out here. They think that's all there is. That's all that matters. But unless you prosper in soul, unless you develop in the inner man, it's a wasted life. Nothing was accomplished. Oh, but if whatever you develop in God, you take it with you past this life. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible talked about the saints that have died and gone on. It said they rest from their labors, but their works do follow them. Hallelujah. Somebody says, "Well, you can't take it with you." Well, it depends on what you're talking about. Father, we are so thankful. You are so good. You are so wonderful. You are so kind to us. We reach out to you for utterance, for anointing, for direction, for revelation, for answers and help today. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Go with me again to the book of Acts. We have been on our series we're calling Faith for Provision. We've been giving one after another 30 reasons, and we'll be continuing to 40 reasons why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And we're down to reason number 30 in our study. If you weren't here for the previous 29, don't miss that. Go online to faithschool.org, faithschool.org, and all of the previous lessons are there at no cost, no charge. Take advantage of them. Feed on them. It'll be a building in your spirit that you get more and more persuaded, and it pushes the doubt and questions out. There's no such thing as being too persuaded. Amen. Or too confident, huh? Or too encouraged, right? You never saw somebody that, "Oh man, I'm encouraged enough." No more encouragement, please. No, there's no such thing as being too encouraged. And so you want to get all of these points to get the full effect and benefit of where we are now. Acts, the second chapter, is our 30th point. Acts 2 and Acts 4 is the beginning days of the church. In Acts 2, they all got filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, where they were in one place and one accord. And in verse 41, at the preaching of Peter, 3,000 souls were added to the church. And in verse 44, all that believed were together. And they had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord. Did you notice how he keeps mentioning that? Together, all together, all common, one accord. Daily with one accord in the temple. That lets us know it's possible for even a large group of people to get along. Right? Month after month, year after year. It has to do with what your priorities are. And if your priorities are Jesus being the head and preaching the gospel and fulfilling the Great Commission, then that lasts, that sustainable unity. Said they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Thank you, Lord. Go to the fourth chapter, and the fourth verse says, many of them that heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So we already had 3,000. Now we got another 5,000. People are being saved daily. And so this is at least a 10,000 person church. And if you skip down to the end of the chapter, it said, verse 32, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. He keeps bringing this up, doesn't he? So when the scripture keeps bringing something up, there are reasons why. And one of the reasons is that he knew there'd be a tendency to go past it and not give it the focus and attention that you should. Thinking, well, that's great. They were all getting along. No, it's more than that. Yeah. This is the very point the enemy will attack. And if he's successful in disrupting this unity, then the rest of these things that are talking about people being saved every day, the gospel going out everywhere, everybody's needs being met, that's going to be disrupted if the unity is disrupted. So can you see that people haven't always put these two together? Could everyone's needs be met? Absolutely. Can God do it? Abundantly. But so then why don't he do it? He did. Right? He did. Would he do it again? Well, he never changed. People might have left him, but he didn't change his mind. He didn't, stop doing what he wanted to do. If people quit doing what he told them to do in the unity and in the priority. So the multitude were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any that all of the things that he possessed was his own, but they had all things common or together. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. That's part of the grace that was on them. As a result of what? As a result of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the preaching of the gospel being the main thing, the focus of all the thousands of people. That's what everybody was together about and pooling their resources to do and to accomplish. And as a result of that, great grace was on the leaders, was on the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Great grace was on them so that they are preaching accurately with boldness and anointing, and signs are happening and healings are happening and deliverances, and everybody in the church is on board with this. And so they didn't have time just to be working all day to get something to eat. So God took care of that. Can you see this? So God took care of that, and he moved resources from here and had them distributed and dispersed exactly where and when and how they needed to be, because the main thing was the main thing. Can you say amen? Yes. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Everybody say distribution.
Distribution.
Go with me to the book of Mark, please, the 10th chapter, Mark chapter 10. You'll find this word in numerous places in the New Testament, this word distribute or distribution, and it means to give through. There's two or three words translated this, but they mean similar things. To give through. I like that. That accurately describes something comes to, but then it goes through. Do you see this? To give through. Now, we looked at this, I don't know, a few classes back. We went to John 6, and that was the feeding of the multitude. And where Jesus asked what they had, and they said the little boy had this little lunch. And the scripture said that Jesus took it, and he prayed over it, and he blessed it. And then he broke it and gave it to the 12, and they distributed it. He had them sit down in companies of 50, and they distributed. How could a little boy's lunch, which would have been, you know, a handful, feed 5,000 men plus the women and children and whoever else was there? How could that happen? A miracle.
Yes.
But what kind of miracle? A miracle of multiplication. Now, God is the God of multiplication.
Amen.
Hmm?
Yes.
There used to be one human being on the planet. Adam. Now, all of us are here. Multiplication. And you will eat today because of multiplication. And that's how God does everything. But he wants us involved in the process. He wants our heart, our faith, our obedience. And he shows how one can become more than enough. One little lunch can feed thousands and thousands with 12 baskets left over. How did that happen? Where did that happen? What was the catalyst? How did God do it? Sometimes we just kind of think, well, it's like magic. No, it ain't magic. It's God.
Yeah.
But there's a specific way he did it. Jesus, first of all, blessed it. The blessing is the power of God to multiply and increase. Hallelujah. When God blesses something, it becomes more. And so the power, once Jesus has prayed and said and done that, the power was there. It was there on him and on the food and on the area. And yet there's no multiplication yet. Why? There's got to be an action. Faith without an action is dead. So what did Jesus do? He broke it. Now see, if you're walking by sight, there ain't no need in dividing this to feed thousands of people, right? There is no reason to even start with this. But faith says yes. Break it, hand it, and then they, you know, one apostle would take his piece of the pieces and he brought it over to the company of 50. You got 50 people sitting out here. And he distributed it to 50 people. And what happened was in the distribution, there was multiplication. Miraculous multiplication. Because this person would take some and they would break it. And in their hands, it multiplied. Yes. Hallelujah. And they would hand it here and it would multiply. When they broke it, it would multiply. And then when they broke it, it would. Can you see what I'm talking about? Yes. Distribution. Somebody say distribution.
Distribution.
Distribution means to give through, to deal out. One definition is good at imparting. Good at it. How many like to be good at imparting? Liberal. To deal out, to give through. Now in Mark the 10th chapter, when we read about what they're doing here in the book of Acts in the beginning days of the church, we need to remember they're doing what Jesus told them to do while he was still on the earth. This is not some new thing they came up with. He specifically told them and us to do this when he was walking the earth. In Mark 10 and 17 is when the rich young ruler came running to Jesus and asking him, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Let me see, down about verse 21, Jesus told him, he looked at him and loved him and said, one thing you lack, go your way, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. Isn't this exactly what we're reading about in Acts 2 and in Acts 4? What were they doing? Selling what they had and giving it to people in need. Right? It's exactly what he said. And the scripture said, verse 22, this rich young ruler was sad at that saying. And he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. You can tell when you're missing God because you're sad. It's a fact. Inside you is grieved. That should have been a glaring indication that you are missing God, young man. He runs out there. He's excited about something. He doesn't know what, but his spirit, he heard Jesus preach and he saw what's going on in the ministry and something stirred him to his core and he realizes there's more. There's more. And he runs out and he falls in front of Jesus and he says, what can I do? And in his mind, he's thinking, I'll do anything. What can I do? What can I do? And the Lord mentions the commandments to him. And he says, I've done that. I've done that. I've done that. Jesus looked at him and loved him. And thought, this is a good young man. Says he wants to go all the way with God. What are y'all laughing about? Don't laugh too hard. Wants to go all the way with God. And Jesus says, well, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. You want to go all the way? There's one thing you need to do to come on. And you can tell he's offering him a close place with him. Come, take up your cross like what I'm doing and follow me. This is an invitation to come real close. And I don't know, be with him in the 12 or be with him in these, or past this in the church. You know, at one point they had to replace Judas. And when the young man hears that, he pulls back and he just, sadness just comes over him. And his heart's grieved. Why? because he has a lot of stuff, and he cannot visualize, he cannot see himself being without the stuff. Because that's a big part of who he is, big part of his identity. And maybe he's afraid because that's what he uses to be secure, which is why the Lord put his finger on it. Can you see this? It wasn't about the money. It's about the trust. Oh, come on, can y'all see it or not? Verse 23, Jesus looked around about and said to his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Didn't say God was against them. It said something is hindering them from getting in. And what is it? They were astonished at his words. They didn't find it curious. They were astounded. Why? Because every Hebrew person knows that God blessed Abraham and made him rich. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Every Jewish person that ever went to synagogue and ever heard the reading of the law and the prophets knows that if you obey God, he opens the windows of heaven. He pours out blessings. He will make you rich. So when they heard this, they thought, huh? Because in their mind, that's rich and blessed go together. Yes. Right?
Yes.
Blessed of God. Rich. Same, same. Well, Jesus clarified it. Verse 24, they were astonished, but Jesus answered again and said, "Children, how hard is it for them that what?
Trust
in riches." It's not the riches. It's not having the riches. What is it?
Trust.
It's trusting the riches. There is one way to prove you don't trust it. Turn loose of it. Huh? That's it. There's only one way. And don't think that God won't ask you for your Isaac. He will. Not because he's trying to hurt you. Not because he's trying to take anything from you. But because you can't have anything or anyone that you trust more than him.
Amen.
Hmm? There's only one number one spot. And if he's not in it, something else is there. And this young man came saying, "How can I inherit eternal life?" And the Lord knows, yeah, that's what he wants. But what else he wants is to be close to God. And he wants to go all the way. And he wants to come all the way and go all the way. And the Lord knew by the Spirit the thing holding him back. His trust is in his money and stuff. If you want to go all the way with God, all your trust has to be in God. How can I do that? Well, if it's in something else, you got to get it out of that and put that trust in him. He is not asking the young man to take a vow of poverty.
Amen.
No, he's not. Not asking him to commit to be poor the rest of his life. Not even close. Now, people try to say that kind of thing, and I heard somebody, you know, this has been a few years ago, but they're talking about, you know, that's how you get to heaven is by giving to the poor. What? Then that means Jesus wouldn't have had to come. He wouldn't have had to come to the cross. You just give to the poor. And that earns you your salvation. Absolutely not. You cannot buy your way into heaven or buy your way into the family of God. You must be born again. It's just receiving a free gift. He said, "How hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God." Verse 28, Peter began to say to him, "Lord, we have left all and have followed you." Could the young man have done what Jesus said?
Yes. Yes.
They did it.
Yeah.
They left their fishing business. They left their boats and their equipment and that regular stream of income and all those things. And different ones left their occupations, and they did it. Can you do it?
Yes.
Yeah, you can. And Peter brings it up. He says, "Well, we did it. How about us? And Jesus said, verily, I say to you. Now, this is to Peter, and this is to the 12, and to those that had left things to follow him. He said, there is no man that has left house, brothers, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, lands, for my sake and the gospel's. Now, am I still talking about early days of the church?
Yes.
Why was the church pooling all their resources and selling and you know, houses and lands mentioned right here? Why? For what reason? For the gospel. For Jesus. For the kingdom. He said, there's nobody that will do that, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time. Now let's just stop right there. How many believe the words of Jesus? Hundredfold. When? When? So what if that young man had done what Jesus told him to do? Would he have been broke the rest of his life? I mean, how many verses later? Right? From when he told him. Just four or five verses later, he tells all of them, no, if you do this, you will not be broke.
Amen.
Huh? Yes. Not only will you recoup what you gave up, you'll see it increased
Amen.
By 100 times
Yes.
now.
Amen.
Now.
Amen.
In this time. Can you see? A lot of people have gotten this wrong. They have really messed this up, and because they had satanic help. It's the enemy who wants you afraid of giving and afraid that you're going to wind up poor, afraid of running out. That fear will keep you in bondage. No, he wasn't asking him to give up everything and be poor the rest of his life. He's asking him to trust him. He told him to do something. Trust his wisdom. Trust his anointing. Trust his love.
Yeah.
Right? That he's not trying to hurt you. He's not trying to take anything away from you. He loves you. You, the one that came, hollered at him. Right? Said, you want to go all the way? He said, okay. Just one thing. And you're here. Everybody say, a hundredfold.
Now in this
time. Now in this time. I believe it.
I believe it.
Thank you for it, Lord.
Thank you for it.
Well, our time's up again. Come back tomorrow. There's a whole lot more to see. God is the good God. He's the God of multiplication and no lack.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.